The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Inside the Beltway on Wednesday, October the 13th in the year of our Lord 2021. Got my Ohio State tie on because I'm going down to Georgia right after the show. Got to grab a plane because tonight at the Atlanta History Center, I'm joining up with Alfredo Ortiz of the Job Creators Network, Brian Westbury of First Trust Portfolio to talk about the Biden inflation, stagflation, and what you ought to be doing with your money with this crushing economic series of events coming our way. And we'll be joined by Herschel Walker. Now, I know Herschel has a whole special place in the heart of Georgia football fans. But I'll be wearing my Ohio State tie because the next Heisman Trophy winner you hear about is going to be named C.J. Stroud from Ohio State, the young phenom quarterback, or maybe even Trevann Henderson, who's their freshman supernova running back that came out of Virginia. It took a whole year off last year. Some people don't know about him. He's a senior of the year, was lost in Virginia. Now, Herschel ran for, I believe, 1,600-odd yards as a freshman at Georgia, and they have a nice little program down there. Don't get me wrong. For the SEC, it's okay. But the Ohio State Buckeyes, I think Trevann's going way past 1,600 this year, and C.J. Stroud's going to be the Heisman winner and go down and join Herschel in the Heisman house. Let me tell you, though, the rundown, that's tonight. If you want a ticket, you go to am920theanswer.com. Don't blame me if it's sold out. I think there are still tickets available, but don't blame me. I told you about it enough. I'll be there tonight, am920theanswer.com. Let's do the rundown. Democrats debate eligibility for reconciliation bills, new social programs, according to the Wall Street Journal. Got a picture of Joe Manchin on it saying he only supports $1.5 trillion of new unnecessary spending. He's the moderate in the Democrats. We don't have another $1.5 trillion, and we don't need to give another $1.5 trillion to anyone for anything. They want to start major new programs of welfare assistance that will make people increasingly dependent upon the government. Joe Manchin wants to build things, so his $1.5 trillion at least doesn't go on and on and on. But he is holding the line right now, so I'm glad he's there, as is Kyrsten Sinema. She does not want to spend more than $1.5 trillion either, and the Democrats are milking down. As a result, the Washington Post headline this morning, Pelosi prepares Democrats to scale back $3.5 trillion bill as liberals raise new alarms about cuts. Well, the liberals can raise all the alarms that they want. They haven't got a majority in the United States Senate. They've got 50 out of 100. So they need every Democrat to agree, plus the vice president of the United States, who has to be in town and not talking to childhood actors over on the porch at the Naval Observatory, to cast a vote for whatever they agree on. They're not going to agree on anything for a long time. Biggest news story yesterday that you don't know is a huge news story is this. John Yarmuth is quitting. Now, you don't know who Congressman John Yarmuth is unless you happen to be listening to me in Kentucky. He has represented Louisville for a long time, and he is quitting. He is also the chairman of the Budget Committee, so he actually had a big job. Why is he quitting? Because there is a tsunami coming. The Democrats have gotten everybody mad at them in record time. Joe Biden's numbers are slipping under the 44% approval number. The big news yesterday is that Terry McAuliffe, who is going down with the Biden ship, reached out desperately and asked, you know who he asked to come campaign for him? Not the president of the United States, the former president of the United States, Barack Obama. So Barack Obama is going to show up, and I hate to break it to Democrats. You still like him, I know. But he's not the crowd generator, and he's not the enthusiasm manufacturer that he used to be. And you can't stop people like John Yarmuth from saying, oops, I'm done here. And you know why the Democrats are now quitting? All the Democrats in Congress are saying, no mas, no mas. It's not just because of redistricting and Joe Biden's unpopularity. They all need a job when they lose. In the 2010 election, after the Obamacare fiasco, which is not as big as the fiasco of the Biden spending, it's one-third the fiasco of the Bidens. But the American people don't like to spend money they don't have, money that they're borrowing. You know how many Democrats lost in 2010? 63. That meant 63 Democrats looking for jobs in Washington, D.C. And John Yarmuth is smart and says, you know, I'm going to go find a job before I lose. I'm not going to get bailed out of town with everybody else in a red tide. I'm getting out of here. So that's a tell. President Trump close to a deal to sell the Trump Hotel in Washington, D.C. Now, I've only been inside the Trump Hotel three times. Three times I did speeches there like I'm doing in Atlanta tonight. And three times I used to work there every day when it was the old post office and I was the general counsel of the National Endowment for the Humanities. I always hated working there. They had restaurants on the bottom floor and the Chinese food would start at about 8 o'clock in the morning and Kung Pao chicken was in my nostrils by nine. But they're going to sell it. No more stand-ups in front of the Trump Hotel. The easiest stand-up to do. California and the cutting edge again. California always on the cutting edge. Banning the sales of gas-powered leaf blowers and lawnmowers. That's a blow to Dwayne. Dwayne has never, ever pushed a lawnmower in his life. I think that might even cover your scooter, Dwayne, but I'm not sure. The Supreme Court considers... That's a leaf-blowing scooter, isn't it? I think it is. The Pedego? That's a leaf blower disguised as a bicycle.
It's an electric bike. By definition, it's an e-bike. There is no gas-powered motor on it. What are you talking
about? I think it's covered. I think it's covered by the new California law. Supreme Court yesterday heard arguments on whether or not they would be reviewing the Kentucky law limiting abortion. The great, great, great attorney general down there wants them to do so. Andy Beshear, the governor, does not want them to do so. But Daniel Cameron, is the terrific attorney general in Kentucky. He has asked the Supreme Court to uphold the law. Beshear didn't want to defend it, passed by the Kentucky legislature. But they had an argument yesterday on whether or not Cameron could bring the law that the people of Kentucky adopted through their representatives. I think the court is leaning towards yes. I also believe Roe v. Wade is history and Planned Parenthood v. Casey is history. FDA staff don't take position on Moderna COVID-19 booster. Yet another triumph for the clarity and leadership of the public health agencies in America. Moderna FDA staff don't take a position on whether or not you should get anyone should get a booster of Moderna. They won't take a stand. The FDA. What do we pay them for? Of course you should get the booster. Of course they're acting like bureaucrats who noses out of a joint. Because the White House is going to let people take them anyway. So what do they do? I've told you now since the beginning of the pandemic. You may be upset with Biden and his handling of the pandemic. You may be upset with Trump and his handling of the pandemic. The real problem in this pandemic has been the CDC and the FDA acting like government agencies not confronting a crisis. That's the real problem. Texas Governor Greg Abbott has banned the coronavirus vaccine mandates, and he's included banning that for private businesses. Now, I may disagree with the governor on this. I believe private businesses get to do what private businesses want to do in the absence of legislation. Obviously, they can't discharge pollutants into a river. Obviously, they cannot break the Occupational Safety and Health Administration's rules for a safe workplace. But if they want to require vaccines from their workforce, they ought to be allowed to do so. And I don't think Governor Abbott can do that unilaterally, but we'll find out. I do believe that the Nets can and have banned Kyrie Irving from playing at home and practicing with the team because he's not vaccinated. Kyrie's a flat earther, remember? He's the guy who didn't know that the earth was round. He was a Cleveland Cavalier when the Cavaliers came back from a 3-1 deficit that the Golden Warriors. Hey, Ben, is Ben Brinkman there? I just was wondering, if Ben is there, what was the series in 2016 when you told me the Warriors were unstoppable? I think the Warriors were up 3-1.
No comment.
Yeah, no comment. It was 3-1. Yeah, and then the Cavs came back. Never happened before or since in the NBA. Can't believe the Warriors lost a 3-1 lead. Hundreds of police officers have died from COVID vaccines, but it remains a hard sell. You know, I had a call yesterday with my friend Yoni, former member of the IDF, occasional caller to the show, frequent chat friend of Dwayne during the show, because Yoni has lots of opinions. And Yoni didn't get the virus either. He didn't get the vaccine either, and he got the virus in the Dominican Republic and damn near killed him. I really wish you people on the front lines of public safety would get vaccinated, because you don't know the mopes you're dealing with and whether or not they've been vaccinated or if they're sick at the time. You just don't know. Bad news out of China. Home sales are falling rapidly. I don't think their real estate virus becomes our real estate flu, but you never know, given that it's China. North Korea puts on a show of all their new alleged hypersonic missiles. Muqtada al-Sadr, who's been around since I've been doing this show, takes over in Iraq as the leader of the largest party. The United Kingdom has warned the European Union to stop screwing around with the Northern Ireland, the European Union is such a bureaucratic nightmare. They want their judges to decide issues in Northern Ireland, which is part of the United Kingdom. They have not heard about Brexit, but the EU is the EU and will forever be the EU. And then the two key stories of the day, the Queen had to use a walking stick. Hang in there, Elizabeth. And Prince Charles says his Aston Martin runs on wine and cheese byproducts. More on that when we return, America. That's the rundown for Wednesday, October the 13th in 2021. I'm Hugh Hewitt, live inside the Beltway. Stay tuned. Brought to you by ReliefFactor.com. $19.95 gets you started on ReliefFactor.com. I talk about it three times in my daily show. At the bottom of the first hour when I take it, and then in hours two and three when I remind you to take it, depending on when your commute begins, because ReliefFactor.com works. It's the only supplement I've taken in 30 years of broadcasting. I've declined every other opportunity to take a supplement, and I'll tell you why. Because ReliefFactor.com actually works. I carry in Curcumin and Resveratrol Omega. Temporary relief for the relief of minor aches and pains. Temporary support for the relief of minor aches and pains. And you can't do better than that three-week starter pack, $19.95. Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt inside the Beltway on this Wednesday, October 13th. Leland Vitter joins me from News Nation. Good morning, Leland. How are you?
Hey, Hugh. Good to see you.
Good to see you. Leland, first remind our audience where they can find you every single day at News Nation.
NewsNationNow.com. We're in about 85 million homes, so we're on your cable network. We're on YouTube TV. We're on Hulu TV. Just search my name, search News Nation. You'll find us there. NewsNationNow.com. You can click on Channel Finder and find the program anytime you want.
And what time are you on specifically, Leland?
See, this is why I love you, Hugh, because you realize that as I try to promo the network, that I'm really here to promo myself, 7 p.m. Eastern. So just about in time for dinner, 6 p.m. Central. Come on, get your news, less opinion, more news, a little bit of analysis, and then go on about your evening.
Yeah, people can go straight from Brett Baer over to Leland if they just want news. Now, Leland, the reason I wanted to talk to you is because I need to know how you are covering the Virginia governor's race. I'm spending a lot of time on it. I'm a Virginia voter. I've already voted for Glenn Youngkin. But I think it has a national significance. I think it's a very important bellwether of what's going on. What are you doing about the Virginia governor's race? Are you covering it closely?
Everything we possibly can. And it's fascinating you brought this up, because just yesterday we were talking about coming to Virginia to do the show in Virginia before election night and then on election night, because it is so critical. And you think about what's happening in Virginia, which was a Biden plus 10 state, and now is a toss up essentially between Youngkin and Terry McAuliffe. And you have Terry McAuliffe admitting what a problem Joe Biden's agenda is for him in Virginia. And then you think about what happened in 2009 when you had then President Obama, Vice President Biden, and you had a Republican win the Virginia governor's race, what that sort of foreshadowed for the midterms. I had a guy on, you know very well, Hugh, which is Larry Sabato from the Virginia Center of Politics. And he said, for all the talk about the 2022 midterms, really what we need to be focused on is a 2021 midterm that occurs November 2nd in Virginia.
Now, what occurs to me that is a great tell is President Biden is not coming to help out Terry McAuliffe. They're bringing in former President Obama to try and generate some enthusiasm. But I'd really like, without setting you up one way or the other, how do you cover critical race theory? Because it's become the central issue in Virginia. What do you say about it?
Well, critical race theory has become the proxy for the school district fight in Virginia and who should control what children are taught. And you have some of the largest and most liberal school districts in the country in Virginia. You also have some of the more conservative school districts in Virginia. And what I thought was key, and obviously you've played this soundbite a lot, is the Youngkin-McAuliffe debate, which goes to show you why real debates and real news, especially in politics, are important and actually sometimes elicit the most interesting things, where Terry McAuliffe essentially said that parents should not have a say in what their children are taught, whether it relates to critical race theory, whether it relates to gender studies, whether it relates to transsexual issues, whatever it is, Terry McAuliffe thinks the school boards and the teachers' unions know better. That's a perfectly legitimate political argument. What was interesting was, is he actually said the quiet part out loud. He said the thing that Democrats rarely, if ever, admit, which is they don't want parents' input if it disagrees with their worldview. And the parents shouldn't really have a say. Once he said that, and I think you would acknowledge, that's really when the race changed.
Well, I think it's been building to that. I would say that I've always thought that Glenn Youngkin was going to win this because of the Biden blowback, but Terry McAuliffe has turned out to be a terrible candidate. What's interesting, Leland, I'm going to go to Ohio to moderate a debate between the six Republican would-be Senate nominees in a couple of weeks. In fact, News Nation should come and televise that. Maybe you sit in with me. Then I'm going to go to Minnesota and moderate a debate between Republicans who want to be governor. I just moderated a debate in California among people who wanted to take on Gavin Newsom, but it didn't matter because Gavin won question one. So I moderate debates all over the country, and I'm here to tell you CRT is a real issue everywhere. And when I asked people for input prior to a debate, I get lots of requests to talk about CRT. And I think you're right. It's a proxy for a lot of things. And for Terry McAuliffe to call it a dog whistle, I think is just tone deaf. What do you think?
It certainly appears that way. Everybody that I talk to doesn't view it as a tone whistle. They view it as a real statement on our society. And I think you kind of view this, you can look at this history not really repeating itself, but rhyming. You go back to some of the issues that the Obama administration thought were really important back in the beginning of its time. And I'm thinking, I'm probably going back to some issues involving gay rights and the like, that they thought that this was really what was the most important thing in America. And that if you didn't go along with them, you were a bigoted, racist, homophobe who was clinging to his guns and religion. And the same thing is now happening with CRT. If you're not on board with teaching CRT to our kids, or I should say two children, because I don't have any. But if you're not on board with it, well, then you are a racist, transphobic, homophobic bigot who should just go back to his Neanderthal cave in Ohio. So when you start talking to people like that, and when you start talking to Virginia voters in Northern Virginia like that, it tends to create a problem.
And by the way, you only go to Ohio for good college football, Leland. That's the only reason you go to Ohio, for the number one team in the country. Leland Vinert from News Nation. Go to newsnationnow.com. Watch him every night at 7 p.m. Come back for hour two of the Hugh Hewitt Show. Thank you, Leland. I want to remind you that our sponsor is andrewandtodd.com. There with Sierra Pacific, they lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower. They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no money down mortgages. They help you refinance. So if you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to andrewandtodd.com or call them at 888-1172. Welcome back, America. Hugh Hewitt, joined by Congressman Mike Gallagher of Wisconsin, with a grossly inflated view of how the Packers' ability, given that they've beaten the Lions, the Bengals, and the Steelers. Honestly, Congressman, I hope you're not getting your hopes up. You haven't played the Ravens and the Browns yet. It's your turn. It's coming.
We also beat the Niners. You conveniently left that out. And I missed the Browns game last weekend. What happened at the
end? It was the best game. You know, it was sort of a warm-up. If you're going to go 1-1 at SoFi this year because they're hosting the Super Bowl, Browns lost a thriller, and they just didn't want to show everything to the Chargers because we'll meet them in the AFC Championship game. But I'm not worried about that. Two starting cornerbacks out, both the left tackle and the right tackle out. We'll be fine. I'm just worried about the Packers with this patsy schedule. You lost to the Saints, for goodness sake. Congressman, it's the Navy's birthday, but I am always flummoxed. I can wish happy Navy birthday to Captain Vandroff and happy Navy birthday to Jerry Hendricks and happy Navy birthday to Admiral Stavrida. But you're a Marine, and the Marine Corps birthday is 10-10. Do I wish you a happy Navy birthday?
No, I mean, I am a navalist, but, you know, I celebrate, 10 November, 1775 as my birthday. But I stand with you in wishing all of our Navy brethren a very happy birthday. But I will proudly celebrate the Marine Corps birthday when it comes around this year.
All right. So I'm just confused. They say they got started first, but I've always been told the Marine Corps is older. We'll come back to that. Congressman Gallagher, you followed China closely. You allegedly like basketball. Wisconsin did okay in basketball this year. You know who Greg Popovich is, right?
I do.
All right. I got to play for you Popovich on Monday. In the middle of the John Gruden story, in the middle of the fake story about Urban Meyer, Popovich says this.
You mentioned that, but it made me think a little bit beyond. I think the proclamation was obviously appropriate, important, needed, and all those sorts of things. But I'm a little confused about our city and why it's Indigenous Peoples Day / Columbus Day. Columbus? I mean, he initiated a new world genocide. That's what he did. And beginning with him and what he set in motion, what followed, meant the annihilation of every Indigenous person in Hispaniola, which was Haiti and the Dominican Republic today. That's what he did. He took slaves. He mutilated. He murdered. And they're gonna say slash and honor him. Well, you know, I got to give the San Antonio Independent School District a little bit of credit because at least they added Indigenous Peoples Day along with it, and that's a step in the right direction. But what the hell is Alamo Heights thinking? It's Columbus Day. That's why they're off on Monday. You know, maybe there's something I'm missing and I'm ignorant, but it makes me feel like they're living in a phone booth and they're educating our kids. Columbus Day? And we're going to honor that. And it's no knock on Italian Americans. That's a silly argument. You know, it's like saying we should be proud of Hitler because we're German. I mean, it makes no sense. It's about Columbus. It's not about Italian Americans. And so there are a lot of states that have come out and scratched the Columbus Day and made it Indigenous Peoples Day. But in our city, are we that backward that we have school districts that do that? I'm amazed. Just amazed.
Congressman Gallagher, Popovich is a veteran, Air Force Academy graduate, played basketball for the United States Air Force for 4 years after his service at the Academy, and he's been a very successful basketball coach. When the NBA got into their trouble with China 2 years ago, he supported Adam Silver. But the Spurs are, along with the Rockets, the two biggest hits in China. What do you make of Greg Popovich worrying about a genocide from 500 years ago in Columbus and nobody asking him about the genocide underway in China?
Well, he's a total hypocrite. I mean, I don't know. Pop is famous for hosting these fancy, lavish dinners with everybody. I don't know what the heck they're talking about at these dinners, but clearly they're not talking about a genocidal communist regime. They're not talking about the CCP's actions in Hong Kong. That was the inciting incident that convinced the CCP to economically coerce the NBA and convince them to shut up and dribble. The Chinese Communist Party has convinced Popovich and everyone else in the NBA just to shut up and dribble and accept the party line. And I think Americans are tired of this hypocrisy. And what's more, Adam Silver is trying to restart NBA games in China. So as soon as their TV contract was threatened, after Daryl Morey, the Houston Rockets GM, tweeted an image with the caption, "Fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong," the Chinese government immediately objected. They demanded the team correct the error and eliminate the adverse impact. And then Chinese companies like Tencent immediately suspended partnerships with the team. And after it became clear that the NBA would not force the Rockets to fire Morey, Chinese state media began retaliation against the NBA itself. And this was such a high-profile case, the Chinese Communist Party just made an example of the NBA. I was actually having a meeting with some Hollywood screenwriters that came to talk to me and Senator Angus King because we co-chaired the Cyber Commission, and they were looking for stories about potentially doing some sort of China competition related. They said something to me that I found astounding, which is to say after the NBA was publicly shamed, embarrassed, and forced to bend the knee to General Secretary Xi Jinping, everybody in Hollywood and in TV got the memo. And so both Hollywood and the NBA are horribly hypocritical when it comes to this issue. And the fact that no journalist asked these people the obvious follow-up question is a shame. And I'm just tired of being lectured to by these people that have such an obvious ethical conflict of interest. And the final thing I'll say to you is this. Of course, the biggest proponents of the BLM movement, the loudest voices in America, often telling us that America is an evil, racist hellscape where all cops are racist, are NBA players. What we've seen is Chinese Communist Party state propaganda instruments all over American social media companies over the last 2 years, amplifying anti-American propaganda, BLM propaganda, Antifa propaganda. So all of this is conspiring to send the message to the next generation that America sucks and China isn't such a bad place, which should offend everybody that's watching this. So Popovich, hey, thanks for your service, but I won't sit, stand by and be lectured by someone as hypocritical as you.
No, and when he goes out of his way to slam a school district, the Alamo School District, by the way, the Alamo was defended by slave owners, and the Alamo is a wonderful thing, and the Alamo is a source of pride for everyone who's fought in a war. But let's be honest, if we're going to go after Columbus, we got to go after the Alamo. Pop's not going there. But even more importantly, if he's going to talk about genocide and Columbus is to Italians as Hitler is to Germans, and therefore Columbus is Hitler, not to follow up. The Spurs the Rockets might be slightly ahead of them, but they have millions of fans in China. I don't know if their jerseys are made in Zhejiang. I don't know where Xinjiang. I don't know where their jerseys are made. I do know that both the Biden administration and the Trump administration say there is an active genocide underway in China. And so Popovich might be ignorant and hypocritical, but where are the journalists, Mike Gallagher? How can anyone let that go by?
Well, it's crazy because this isn't just, you know, sort of hawkish Republicans like me talking about this issue. If you look at the vote total for the Uyghur Forced Labor Prevention Act, I mean, it was nearly unanimous in the House and the Senate. And one of the loudest voices in the House criticizing the Chinese Communist Party for its enslavement of Uyghur Muslims include card-carrying members of the squad like Ilhan Omar. So even there are voices on the far left that are aware of this issue. And I think if the private sector doesn't wake up to the fact that some form of selective economic decoupling is inevitable, they're going to experience a lot of pain down the road. This issue, by the way, Hugh, I think is going to come to a head with the Winter Olympics in 2022, which are going to be hosted in Beijing. This is going to be a massive propaganda victory for General Secretary Xi Jinping right before the 20th Party Congress, where he's going to install himself as dictator for life. And we have major American companies, many of whom were boycotting states like Georgia because they claimed they had evil, racist voting law changes, now sponsoring the Olympics and taking part in this massive propaganda victory for the Chinese Communist Party. And again, you know, I just think, you know, the view from Northeast Wisconsin, I think your average American can smell the hypocrisy here. And they don't like being lectured to about what a terrible country this is, because they feel deep down in their hearts that this is the greatest country, notwithstanding our imperfections and the legacy of slavery, which we should not shy away from. We should understand. We should teach our own history in an effort to always improve. They understand that this is the greatest country in the history of the world. And I think this is part of why we're going to have a historic victory in the midterms here.
I think Glenn Youngkin's going to crush Terry McAuliffe. Because wokeism has just crushed the credibility of the left and Popovich. I got to close very quickly with you, Congressman. We got about a minute left. I had General McChrystal on this week about his new book, Risk, about the necessity of doing war games and being prepared. Have the Armed Services Committee of the House run a war game on Taiwan? Because we're going to have to make some decisions on Taiwan when the CCP moves against it. And I don't know that your colleagues are prepared.
We've gotten the after-action reviews from various war games, but we've never been able to participate. And that's one thing that I've written about in the past. I think letting Congress be an active participant in some of these war games would be absolutely critical. And the other thing that really worries me, Hugh, is that when we have these DOD-led war games, not only do we lose, but there's some critical participants who aren't at the table. For example, Treasury, Commerce. You need an integrated strategy that would also include the economic and financial weapons that we would fire at the Chinese Communist Party in the event of a Taiwan scenario. And our national security agencies are siloed. And in particular, we just don't bring sort of the economic and financial agencies to the table in our war games. And that creates a huge blind spot for us. So that's something we absolutely need to fix.
And I am not at all confident that Tony Blinken will have any idea what to do. We have 30 seconds. Do you have any confidence in this, in Secretary Blinken and Secretary Austin in the situation that's looming?
Not after Afghanistan. I hate to take you, but I just thought the performance in Afghanistan, the attempt to spin this as a victory when it was a manifest failure, what they said to me in front of the House Armed Services Committee, what Blinken said to the House Foreign Affairs Committee, I just have lost complete confidence in them. And so it's up to Congress to really step up. And by the way, the diplomatic instrument is critical, too, because if you're going to deter the PLA from invading Taiwan, you're going to have to start negotiating basing agreements for intermediate range ground launch missiles that are absolutely critical to that war game. And that needs to be the top priority of Foggy Bottom right now. And I've gotten no sense that it is.
Congressman Mike Gallagher, always good to talk to you, even though you are a little bit football illiterate. You are right about basketball. Congressman Mike Gallagher from Wisconsin.
Hi, it's Hugh Hewitt for Birch Gold. If you found yourself completely befuddled by events in Afghanistan, alarmed about inflation and otherwise uneasy, well, about everything, about Americans standing in the world, about what comes next, then you're feeling like everybody else is, and uncertainty is usually a time that you want to increase your holdings in gold. When I do that, I do it with Birch Gold. I buy my gold from Birch Gold. You can go to HughGold.com or text my name, Hugh, H-U-G-H, to 474747. They will send you free information. If you want to roll over a portion of your IRA or your 401k into physical precious metals, Birch Gold is who to do that with. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, countless five-star reviews, thousands of happy customers. If you're thinking, I got to get some gold, do it with Birch Gold via HughGold.com or text my name, Hugh, to 474747. That's Hugh to 474747 or HughGold.com.
Welcome back, America. Hugh Hewitt inside the Beltway live on this Wednesday, October 13th. But I'm headed to the airport to go to Atlanta right after the show, where I'll be joined by my next guest, Brian Westbury. Tonight at the Atlanta History Center, beginning at 6 p.m., Herschel Walker will join us. Alfredo Ortiz will join us. But the main event is Brian talking about the economy and where, what you ought to do with your money. Brian, good morning. The headline this morning from Giant CEO on CNBC is that inflation in the supermarket is 8% this year. That got to hurt.
Yeah, it does. Well, Hugh, first of all, the weather is perfect here in Atlanta.
Are you already there? Oh, good.
I am. Second of all, Herschel Walker. I've talked to people around here. He is a hero here. I am no way top billing. I can't wait to meet him. I mean, we've talked about this, Hugh. We're going to talk about this tonight. The Federal Reserve has printed 33% more dollars. They've created 33% more money and added it to the economy. And as a result, I mean, if you just think about this, if you create a third more corn, what happens to the price of corn? It falls by a third. And so the value, I mean, we're in for 30% inflation, not in a year. All right, everybody needs to hear that correctly, but 30% inflation over the next 3, 4, 5 years, and because they that I mean, Milton Friedman knew what he was talking about. It's the,
you know, Brian, what people are going to want to hear from you tonight, and I'm going to be listening with rapt attention, is how do they actually do that? I mean, how do they create 33% more money? And then the key question: what do we do with our money, given what they are doing with the printing of money?
Yeah, well, one of the ways that they do this, Hugh, is that they the Federal Reserve is, and this, I mean, it violates all of the, in a sense, the tenets of sound monetary policy. But the Federal Reserve has been buying bonds from the United States Treasury. And then the United States Treasury then, with the help of Congress and the president, hands that money out to people, to hospitals, to unions, and then through spending it, it gets into the economy. And so what's happened is that the government has run amok. And I mean, every time throughout history that this has happened, we've had disasters in the economy. The Weimar Republic, Rome collapsed because their currency was undermined.
Argentina in the late 70s.
Yes. I mean, in the United States in the late 70s, although we weren't hyperinflation. And I don't want to say that we're the Weimar Republic yet. I mean, we're not. But that's what can happen when you do this kind of policy.
So, Brian, I'm hoping you bring the whole slide deck. I've worked with you before, and the audience always wants more Brian Westbury. You can follow him on Twitter at Westbury. How many slides do we get tonight? I want the whole deck.
my slide deck these days is about 7 or 8 slides. But we're going to talk about government. We're going to talk about inflation. We're going to talk about the Federal Reserve. We're going to talk about how bad it could get. And we're also going to talk about how we could actually get through this period and still end up creating wealth. It's going to take November 2022, and that's why it's really going to be fun to meet Herschel Walker.
Well, yes, and I look forward to that as well tonight at the Atlanta History Center. Brian Westbury and I, Alfredo Ortiz will be there as well. And I want to talk about Job Creators Network for just a moment, Brian. I think the canary in the coal mine are small businesses. I think they are the ones who suffer first, because we heard the CEO of Giant Foods say, you know, we try and keep this away. Sometimes the commentator said, sometimes you make the package smaller. The people who can't really cope with inflation are small businesses. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Hugh, that's one of my biggest worries about what has happened over the past 18, 19 months. And that is, you know, if you think, I mean, I hate when smart people, when nice people, I think I'm smart and I think I'm nice, have to say things like, I don't believe in conspiracy theories. But wouldn't government rather, if you thought about a massive government, wouldn't you rather have 80 huge companies or 1 million small companies? And by shutting down the economy, by creating inflation, by paying people not to work, we made it virtually impossible for small businesses to thrive over the last 18, 19 months.
Brian, that's why the only stock I own is Amazon. I own mutual funds, real estate, and Amazon, because they're too big to fail, right?
Yep.
We will talk about this tonight. Brian and I always have about 7 minutes on the air, but if you're in Atlanta, he's really the smartest guy going around. Come on out to the Atlanta History Center, AM920theanswer.com if you want a ticket. Plus Herschel. I still think it's Westbury and Herschel, not Herschel and Westbury, but it certainly is both of them. Tonight at the Atlanta History Center, AM920, The Answer. Come back for hour 3 of the Hugh Hewitt Show. Morning, Glory America. Bonjour. Hi, Canada. Hugh Hewitt live inside the Beltway before I head down to Atlanta. I'm joined by John Birch, Senior Counsel for Alliance Defending Freedom. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning, Hugh. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. I want to talk to you about Dobbs. This case, I've been writing about it, and I've been thinking about it. And this is Alliance Defending Freedom, of course, is a sponsor of my show. I'm helping raise money right now over at HughHewitt.com for ADF, because this is the year. We thought 1992 was the year that Roe v. Wade would be reversed. I think this is the year in the Dobbs case. But I just read a brief, an amicus brief, filed that makes this argument. Without Roe and Casey, women athletes would not be able to participate fully and equally in athletics. This is like Terry McAuliffe saying the election of Glenn Youngkin will mean an end to abortion. The hysteria on the left, John Birch, I have not ever seen anything that's equal.
Yeah, it's absolutely unbelievable, and it's completely false. There's also a brief filed on the Mississippi side of the case, a friend of the court brief, by hundreds and hundreds of women who talked about how, whether in athletics or their professional life, they were able to not murder their baby and still go forward and have successful athletic careers, professional lives, meaningful lives. It's not a either or proposition. You can both keep your child and still have a wonderful life. If anything, as you know, children make your life better.
So, John, give people an idea of when Dobbs will be heard, what ADF's role in it is, and what your hope for it. I don't think people should expect much change in the abortion regime of the United States. I believe, for example, in California, where it's a constitutional right to an abortion, it's not going to change. But when Roe and Casey are gone, it will simply be back to the states to decide when and where abortions occur. Am I right about that?
Yes, that's the important thing for people to understand, is that the Constitution is silent about abortion or anything related to abortion. And when the Constitution is silent on a subject in our federalist system, that means that states and local governments get to decide how to regulate it. And so overturning Roe, which was completely made up out of whole cloth, doesn't have anything to do with our constitutional text or history, would simply return that choice to the states. So the specific law at issue in Dobbs is a 15-weeks law. It says that you cannot take the life of your child after it's reached 15 weeks gestation. And to do so is really barbaric. At 15 weeks, the baby is fully formed. It sucks its thumb. It blinks its eyelids. It can taste the food that its mother is eating. It's right on that line where it can possibly feel pain if it's hurt in some way. It can absolutely respond to external stimuli. All it has to do is grow a little bit bigger. If you saw the baby at 15 weeks, no one would deny that this is a human child. And yet under Roe versus Wade and Casey, that would be an unconstitutional law. That's what the lower courts were forced to say. And so that's what forces the Supreme Court to address this issue.
Now, John, can I ask you a quick question? If someone in Mississippi shoots a woman who's pregnant with a 15-year-old baby and they both die, are they charged with one or two homicides?
Well, a 15-year-old, that would be quite
15
a baby,
a 15-week baby.
Yes, a 15-week baby, they would almost certainly be charged for taking two lives, because the criminal law recognizes this. Virtually all laws recognize this. That's why if you're pregnant at 15 weeks and the doctor does something to botch your pregnancy where your baby dies, you've got a cause of action against the doctor, too. There are only four countries here in the whole world, including China, North Korea, and the United States, that allow taking a baby's life all the way to the moment of birth. It's barbaric, the society that has built up around Roe.
So
but you asked about timing.
Yeah. Go ahead. Back to timing.
Yeah. So all the briefs are in. The Mississippi Attorney General's office has filed two briefs. The abortion clinic has filed one. Amazingly, the friend of the court briefs, the amici briefs, there were far more on the pro-life side than the pro-choice side, which is unusual. Outnumbered them about 83 to 53. The oral argument will take place December 1st. It's going to be a limited courtroom because of COVID. Right now, this term, the Supreme Court justices are only allowing the lawyers to be in the courtroom and a few press people, and that's it. But it's going to be streamed live by audio. So on December 1st, everybody should be tuning in to hear how the justices deal with this question. As a constitutional matter, this is a slam dunk, easy decision. Roe versus Wade, as I mentioned, is completely fabricated. It has no basis in the Constitution. As a political matter, however, there's obviously a lot of pressure here. And so we've got to hope that the justices do the right thing this time. The last time in Casey, when they were confronted with this situation, they did not have the courage of their convictions to follow the Constitution.
Now, John, I am an optimist because of the Chief Justice's concurrence in Citizens United in 2011. If you read that concurrence about stare decisis, this is clearly a case where stare decisis has failed to settle the law. And as a result, the previous case decision that was intended to do so must be removed, as it continues to be an irritant in the governing of the United States. Do you agree that I think the Chief Justice, if he follows his concurrence in Citizens United, will vote to overturn Roe and Casey?
Yeah, I think that's right. And for those who don't know what stare decisis is, that's simply the judicial policy of following an already decided decision unless it's clearly wrong, because you need stability in the law. But at some point, when a prior decision is so wrong that it's contradictory of the Constitution, we can't be slaves to the decision as opposed to the Constitution, because then that's putting something aside from the Constitution above the Constitution. For example, if the Constitution said the sky is blue and the Supreme Court in 1973 said the sky is green, but you couldn't allow that decision to stand because it's clearly wrong. And based under the Chief Justice's concurrence in Citizens United, Roe is one of those cases that was clearly wrong. It has no basis in the constitutional text, history, tradition. And it's a policy that has proven completely terrible for the country, 60 million deaths, but also for the judiciary. The reason that the court system is always embroiled in these laws, pro-life laws and litigation over them, is because the court in Roe inappropriately inserted itself into the political process and took something that should have been left to the democratic process to decide and constitutionalized it. Even Justice Ginsburg, who was a passionate supporter of abortion rights, said that Roe was poorly decided and probably unnecessary.
So this is the year. Jonathan, what is ADF doing? And I want people to go to HughHewitt.com and support Alliance Defense. What are they doing in this case?
Well, we're working closely with Mississippi to make sure that the briefing was solid, to make sure that the oral argument is presented well. I'm very, very confident in the Mississippi Solicitor General. I think he's going to do a great job. We helped coordinate all the amici briefs. Your listeners may notice a resemblance between Mississippi's 15-week law and the model 15-week legislation that ADF created several years ago, precisely for the purpose of overturning Roe versus Wade. And we'll be very involved on the day of the argument with a courthouse rally on the steps. You know that the pro-choice forces are going to turn out in force in a big way that day. And it's important that people see the beauty of life, that they understand when we're talking about a 15-week child, we're talking about a fully developed baby, that we're not talking about a clump of cells. And, you know, all this work that we do is pro bono solely because of the generosity of the donors. And we encourage them to go to your website, click on the banner and send something our way so that we can continue to do the good work protecting life in this country.
John, will you be doing moot courts with Mississippi Solicitor General? Because murder boards are usually necessary to fully prepare. And I love doing them. But I'm wondering, are you helping with that? Because I know exactly what the arguments are going to be that are going to get thrown at the Mississippi Attorney General. I can hear Justice Sotomayor talking about stability of the law and women who've come to rely upon the ability to access abortion on demand through the entire termination, rape, incest. We know exactly what's going to happen. But have you done a moot court yet with Mississippi?
We will be doing a moot court, yes. We've got a whole stable of folks who are very experienced in U.S. Supreme Court practice. They've clerked for justices. Collectively, they've argued more than 100 cases there, including the 12 that I've argued. And we will absolutely be assisting our friends in Mississippi as we assist our friends across the country. I mean, after all, we are the Alliance Defending Freedom. So whether it's a pro-life issue or a pro-religious liberty issue or a pro-free speech issue, pro-parental rights issue, we are always there standing in the gap to make sure that our friends are giving the best possible argument when they're standing in front of those nine justices in the courtroom in Washington, D.C. And that's why it's so important that we have your support.
And John, if they don't overturn it now, it will never be overturned, in my view, because it is whatever argument there is for stare decisis gets stronger every year. I don't think that there is one, but if they this will be third strike and we're out, in my view. Do you agree with me on the stakes?
It would be really difficult. You know, I'm not one who ever says never to never, because anything is possible. But I think the hill gets a little bit steeper if they would issue an opinion that somehow upholds the core of Roe. Now, if the majority opinion simply says that Mississippi's law is valid and it doesn't reaffirm Roe and Casey, then I think that's a signal to us that we need to keep picking away and that there could be another case coming up in another year or two. Keep in mind that the conservative instinct, if you're a justice or a judge, is to move the law in small ways, incrementally. In other contexts, that's something that we celebrate and encourage. And so it's entirely possible that after all these years, the court may want to do this in two or three bites instead of one. So I wouldn't get discouraged if this doesn't turn out to be the one.
I think it's going to be the one, John Birch, and I appreciate Alliance Defending Freedom working to make it the one. Go to HughHewitt.com and support ADF. I'll be right back. Welcome back, America. Last week, I introduced you to Charlie Dombeck of Key City Capital, keycitycapital.com/you. Key City is a brand new sponsor of the Hugh Hewitt Show, and Charlie is back with me this morning. Good morning, Charlie. How are you?
Good morning, Hugh. Great to be here.
I'm going to Atlanta tonight to talk to people in Atlanta about the dangers of inflation, Charlie. Last week, in our first of seven segments, you talked about the first thing anyone does who wants a wealth acceleration strategy is check their taxes for tax minimization strategy, tax recapture strategy. But now I want to ask you, we are entering into an accelerating inflationary cycle. What are you telling your clients at KeyCityCapital.com, and people should go there, slash you, if you want to get right to Charlie. What are you telling them about preparing for the rocky road ahead?
Yeah, I mean, we're in an environment where there's a lot of concern in our economic markets. If you think about it, our stocks are up about 90% from the lows of the past year and a half, representing really an extraordinary bull run. We look at the measures of valuation, which show potentially historic overextension. And the Federal Reserve is going to taper its asset purchases next year, and maybe that time frame is going to be accelerated. And if you look at the Treasury bond yields, they're rising. And this whole Evergrande collapse sent major shockwaves through the global financial system. And most concerning, as you said, is inflation. It's running out of control. The supply chain issues have not been resolved. And we are in a very tight labor market. And if you look at what people are saying, just recently I heard from David Hunter. He's talking about investors should prepare for maybe more wealth destruction than we've ever seen. And then Michael Burry, who predicted The Big Short, just came out and said, look, this may be the mother of all corrections. So we have to prepare now for a major correction. And there are about three asset classes that perform exceptionally well in an inflationary economy: commodities, passive investment real estate, and asset-backed lending. And what are we doing with our clients and what are we advising? We're helping clients take profits off the table from all of the market run-up, removing dollars out of financials into assets that are inflation protected.
Now, Charlie, I told people last week I've never had a wealth advisor as a sponsor. I've never allowed it. And I had to meet with you, and we sat down. I did due diligence on Key City Capital very, very closely, because commodities are risky business, and you need a pro. How well do you guys do in commodities? I never, ever traded in commodity because it's just too complicated for me. What do you tell people?
Commodities, we stay away from commodities. Commodities don't cash flow. They're speculation. You earn a rate of return when the value of your commodities rise. I am a big proponent of rental real estate and asset-backed lending transactions. I'm a very left-brain conservative accountant. I want things that I know are going to perform. I hate risk, and I know that I'm going to do well in rental real estate and in asset-backed lending transactions, which is exactly what we sponsor at Key City Capital.
That's what I wanted people to hear, and I didn't want to put words in his mouth. I hate commodities. I think they're just gambling. But I do stay invested because you can't not be invested, right, Charlie? You have to have your money working for you.
You have to have your money working for you, and what's working right now is rental real estate and asset-backed lending transactions. Our portfolio in Key City Capital has been exclusively focused on landlord-friendly states south of the Mason-Dixon line. In fact, 90% of our portfolio historically has been located in southwest Florida, between Naples and Tampa, and Texas. And we've been the unintended beneficiary of the COVID economy with the massive population shifts out of the upper Northeast, Midwest, and now from California. Heck, we've got 30,000 people moving to Florida. So we've experienced double-digit appreciation, high single-digit growth in rental rates, and on every property that we acquire, there's a value add where we create typically a 30% spread after 6 to 12 months. So you can see very easily we can get well north of 20% annual rates of return in this market segment. And this is where clients need to put dollars.
And I want to explain in the minute we have left, we'll come back to this next week, and we're going to go long next week for the podcast. When you invest, you don't have to buy the whole real estate complex. You don't have to buy an apartment complex. You have to be part of a group of people that buy the apartment complex. That's what Key City Capital does.
We offer funds that allow clients to benefit from direct ownership of passive investment real estate. Not only do you get the high rates of return, but you get the flow through depreciation deductions that make the income that you generate tax neutral.
We'll unpack it more. This is why I agreed, because I think KeyCityCapital.com/you has a product a lot of people who are trying to preserve their wealth and accelerate their wealth need to investigate. It's that product. We'll talk more about it next week. Charlie Dombeck, thank you, Charlie. I'll think of you all the way down to Atlanta because I think you're going to make me a lot of new friends because you're going to make a lot of people a lot of money. I think. I can't promise. You can never promise, but I think. Hey, America, I'll see you in Atlanta tonight, AM920, theanswer.com. If you're in Atlanta, come on over, see Herschel Walker, Brian Westbury, Alfredo Ortiz, and me. And if not, I'll talk to you on Monday. Ed Morrissey is in for me tomorrow and Friday. I'll be wearing an eye patch, but don't worry about that. I'll be fine on the next Hugh Hewitt Show.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.